name. Amen. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning, the fifth Sunday of Lent, is going to be taken out of the Old Testament. I haven't done an Old Testament text in a while, so I felt I should do an Old Testament reading. And it'll be taken from Psalms. We're going to read from Psalm 126, and it'll take a long time, but we'll read the entire Psalm. Only six verses. Reading in Jesus' name, Psalm 126. You can remain seated for this, beginning at verse 1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. When they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams of Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would be with us as we look at this word. And Father, though it's a short text, it's full of life, and it's full of joy, and it's full of the understanding of you being our provider and in our strength. So Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in the truth. Your word is the only truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So this text is actually quite beautiful. It's more of a celebration. And a lot of different theologians talk about it. It could be basically from the Exodus time with Egypt, or it could be during after the Babylonian reign. For 70 years, Israel was under their control. And so the point of it is that they're coming out of this occupation. They're coming out of this basically being controlled by another nation. They're given back to their land, and they're very excited about this. They feel that there's liberty. They feel that there's hope. They see that God has sought favor upon them, which he promised to do. Even when Babylonia kept them in captivity for 7 years, God promised that there would be a king that would rise up and would actually free them, which he did. And he even names the king. But it's interesting because oftentimes, we think that our turmoil, our difficulties are forever. But actually, God is quite consistent. He really is. He continually takes care of us in the ups and the downs of our lives. And we really actually need to see that. Life has trials. We live in the flesh. We live in a fallen world. We battle this all the time. We get it. We don't have to look out into the world to see it. We can find it within our own livelihood, what we do each and every day. It can be as simple as getting a sliver, or it can be as difficult as receiving a prognosis of getting cancer, or it can be literally death in the family. They're difficulties. They are a reality. And as much as we would like to say that this doesn't take place, oftentimes we battle these things and we want to ask the question, where is God? I think that is probably one of the biggest questions that I can't speak for other people, so I'll say for myself. In the middle of difficulty, I'll wonder, where is God in all of this? We could literally go back to the beauty of the poem of Footprints, and we could look at that and say, oftentimes when we think that we're going by our own strength, it's Christ Jesus that carries us. We don't even realize it at times because we're focused upon the difficulty or the grief or whatever it may be. Our eyesight is limited. But yet, here we are today. We're able to come through these circumstances, these difficulties, and understand that we are still a child of a king. We're here today to worship a God that is not a historical God, but an active God that lives in our lives and continues to work in our lives, whether there is good, bad, or otherwise. God is still there. He is consistent. And so this is really a shout of joy, especially the opening of this. It's a shout of joy that God has really taken good care of them. And can we not also proclaim the same in our day and age? That our God has taken care of us. Yes, life can have things falling down all around us, but we are still here. We are still being provided for. We're being taken care of. This is our God, consistent through the storms. And so, really, it's kind of interesting because no one knows who wrote this. There's not really an author that's labeled to this. And so, you kind of go down that road, when was it written, whatever. But this is actually what they'd call one of the degrees. There was a psalms that they would sing as they headed up to Jerusalem. It was a song of praise. And these things were meant to be sung. I'm not going to sing for you. I want you all to stay here. But that's really what they were. And so I believe it's from around Psalm, I think, 119 all the way up to like 132. They sang these as they headed up to Jerusalem quite often. And so, it's kind of a more of a praise. And so anyways, the psalmist opens up very strongly saying, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. And really what he's saying here is, you know, the kingdom of God has been blessed. He's not just talking here as oftentimes we think monastery, you know, that, oh, now we're just rich. And he's not talking about Zion Lutheran Church up on 400 Ingot Street in Hancock. We're part of it, sure. But really, Zion means it's a place, you know, the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. But it also understands or equates to the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God has received its fortune. And so you look back in this time, and yes, coming out of exile, coming out of those difficulties, you could see where they would be elated. But we as believers in Christ Jesus, do we not understand that we've been called out of exile? That is no longer dependent upon what we can do, but rather what Christ Jesus does for each and every one of us. In our behalf, Christ went to the cross. He paid the penalty of hell, death, and the devil. He took care of all that for us. He paid the penalty of our sin. And then we know to the Easter story that, yes, he went into a tomb for 3 days, but was resurrected. And in that tomb, that empty tomb, that is our celebration. That death has no more hold over us. But for the world that doesn't understand Christ, it's difficult. Because we can look around in cemeteries everywhere and see that people still often consider their loved one there. But yet in Christ, they're in victory. The timeline of it, sure, we could debate that. We can argue that. But I go with Jesus. Today, he tells the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. I don't need to question it beyond there. That I receive this reward upon my last breath. And this is what we celebrate for each and every person that dies in faith. And I add that stipulation because what good is it if they don't know? If we don't share the message of faith, if we don't share the gospel. And see, this is something that I think is very, very important because the reality of it is we oftentimes get caught up in the style of our churches. We get caught up in what we do, how we do it. But is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that first and foremost? It needs to be. This word is a perfect word. Though we may not see its perfectness because of our fallenness, it is a perfect word. And this is the word that needs to be proclaimed to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. It's an amazing thing. And oftentimes we have a tendency, and I'm guilty of this, I don't need to look into the audience, but we think, well, they're going to come through these doors and then we'll be able to share it with them. But as believers in Jesus Christ, this is just a recharging station. That we would receive the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we'd enter into a world and bring it to a world that needs to hear it. Really struck me recently. We had a funeral. We didn't have the funeral. It was in another congregation of ours, Tapiola. And a lot of the community members went. And I was talking with one of the community members who I know very well. Very interesting man. Looks a little rough at times, but it's just him. The first thing he says, Pastor, I want you to know something. I believe. How powerful is that? That oftentimes we only think it's the people walking through the doors that believe. But there is a world full of people out there that maybe have been burnt, maybe are scared, maybe don't know what church to go to because we're always bunking against ourselves about what church is right. But here, one-on-one, I have an individual that gives a testimony of his faith. And this really is where the rubber hits the road. Now, I love our federation. I love our traditions. But our traditions are not what's going to save us. It is the redeeming grace of God through Christ Jesus that is the balm for my sin. That is the healing of my life. And so we have a responsibility not just to have great praise music or the perfect style of prayer or anything else. It's to bring the word of God before the people so that we as the people can enter into a world and share this gospel. And so this is really what he's talking about here. He brings out this aspect. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, when the Lord spoke to them and brought them back in, how blessed were they? Yes, they received their land back. But all of it is ours. All of it is ours. God has told us even in the very beginning of Genesis to enter out into the world and to replenish it, to multiply. He also, in reality, prays in the priestly prayer in the New Testament saying, God, I pray not that you keep them, but rather that you send them out. This is a recharging. For what purpose? To bring it out, to share, to encourage. And no, we don't have to be pastors and we don't have to stand up with banners. That stuff is fine. But it's sharing the love of God. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would say it even this way. Stop being concerned where people go to church and have a desire to know if they know Christ. Do they know him? And that's our question even for us in this room today. That question isn't just for the world suspiciously. Do we know the redeeming work of Jesus Christ in our life? Now, we are saved by his blood. It's not what I can do, but what he has done to claim to that faith that he so greatly gives. The Lord restores the fortunes of Zion to the kingdom of God. He says, in fact, when you get to the understanding that it is Christ Jesus and him alone, it's like a dream. It is. Now, why would I say something so foolish? Well, the scripture says they were like dreamers when they received everything back. But can you imagine actually receiving something that you didn't physically have to sweat, work, cry, and beat yourself to get? It's unimaginable. The love of God is free. The grace of God is free. That's why it's called grace, unmerited favor. God so loved you, he gave his only son that you could have life and have it eternally. That's for you, and that is proclaimed into the world. That by believing, we can receive. Because God did not send his son into this world to condemn it, to beat him over the head with the Bible. He sent his son into the world that we could look to him for salvation, for that gift. It's just amazing when you actually look at what this is saying to us. It was like being in a dream. Come on. We go down to, I've never been, but to Mexico, like to an inclusive resort. But I'd like to go, and I keep talking to my sister Judy because she's been a few times. Not my wife Judy, because she better not go without me. But it's got to be kind of nice, like, granted you do pay one fee, but you're sitting down there at the beach and you and you want something to eat, you just ring a bell. I don't know what they do, but you get it. It's all inclusive. You want food, it comes. You want something to drink, it comes. You want coffee, it comes. That's like living the dream, isn't it? You just sit there and you just wave your wand and people bring you stuff. That's like amazing. Or imagine just going to work and they looked at you one day and said, we think you're fabulous. We're going to give you the best place in the building and we're going to pay you triple. Just because you're you. That to me is like living the dream. Well, God looks at you and he says, you're my child. You're created. I gave you life. The very life I gave you, I want you to receive. So therefore, I'm giving it to you for free. This is really what he's talking about, living the dream. I mean, I state that all the time. I have signs in my office. I got t-shirts that people buy me because, and I'm not joking. I worked construction for many years. I worked sales on the road, downstate, everywhere, day in, day out for years. I went through all of these trials of trying to figure out things. And don't tell my congregation, but I get paid to talk to people. I'm living the dream. Now, some days are tougher than others, but isn't that the case for you? But I am a child of God, that no matter what the world may throw at me, I know by the finished work of Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. It's like a dream. We of all people should be most joyful because we are free. And so that's really what he speaks here. It's like when God restored their fortune, it was like they were dreaming. Those who dream. He says, and then our mouth. Don't tell the Finns this, but it was filled with laughter. You know? But that's what he's saying. It was joyful. They were happy. Laughter poured out. It's not wrong to laugh. Even Ecclesiastes tells you there's a time for laughter and a time for crying, a time for joy, a time for sorrow, right? There are these seasons in life, but it's okay to laugh. God has definitely given us a sense of humor. And so anyways, he says, their mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with what? Shouts of joy. When is the last time we've actually just praised God? Not saying like we got to stand up and sing like this. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying personally. And Jesse could be asked the same exact question. To literally say, thank you, Lord, for everything you have given to me. Thank you for the freedom I have in Christ. Thank you for the sustenance even for my daily walk. Thank you for the love that is shared to me by so many other individuals. Yes, we know there's difficulties, Lord, but in spite of all this, you equip me. You give to me. You encourage me. And so he says their mouth really was filled with this joy of laughter and their tongue, they praised God and actually they became the envy of other people. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever had somebody walk up to you and say, I want what you have? You seem to have a peace in the middle of a storm. You seem to have an assurance. You seem to have joy. You know how many people come up to me and ask, is that lady for real? I'm talking about my wife to you guys in Cyberland. And you know what? My wife is just born with a natural positive attitude. And I'll tell you something right now. I'd like to act holy and tell you it's just so wonderful. No, sometimes it irritates me. Because in my fallenness, I just want to have a bad day or a bad moment. But she reminds me of the joy. These people, they were a testimony when they realized what God has done for them of the joy. And they literally, the other nations looking around said, wow, they're blessed. Maybe we could actually see that too, that we're blessed. If any of you don't think you're real blessed, I'll invite you to come with me again next year to Mexico. And that's just probably not as bad as some countries. We are blessed. And so, The other nations look to him and say, the Lord has done great things for them. He has truly taken care of them. Notice they didn't say, wow, they really have a self-help attitude. They really have it all figured out. They're the outsiders, and they see it as, wow, God has blessed them. We turn around and we look at situations in our lives, and we can often look over at our neighbor and wonder why I don't have what they have. But to you, I'll speak very boldly, if you have shoes upon your feet, you're better off than 75% of this world. To have shoes on your feet. Interesting. But anyways, so he says, really? He said, the Lord has done great things for them, and the Lord has done great things for us. And he says, and we are glad. And so now they're praising God. They're rejoicing in it. And then they're basically proclaiming, just continue, Father. Continue to do this work. Restore our fortunes. O Lord, like the streams of Negev. Negev was south of Judea, and it's actually a desert land. It's very dry. It's very desolate. And basically, once a year, the rains would come, and those riverbeds would fill up, and life would flourish for a while. And that's kind of like the celebration of, wow, life is really going good. And we have those moments in our life. I know we do. Where times we feel dry, we feel like we're going, we don't know how we're going to make it, and then God just comes in, does something wonderful, and we're like, praise the Lord! I'm all set! And then next week, Jesse's back to, oh, man, now what am I going to do? But this is what they're saying. We're seeking from you for the blessings. We're seeking from you to really sustain us. And that's something I think we need to realize as a congregation, as a member, as a believer, as a pastor, a board member. God is our sustenance. It's not about what we can do. It is God's provision to us. And that we would be stewards of these things. And so really, they're saying, Lord, just continue to bless. Continue to pour out, if we could say it this way, your rain upon these desert places. Allow life to flourish out of nothing. And that is God's specialty. He allows life to flourish out of death. He allows life to be restored through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so he speaks very positively in this way, the psalmist does. You know, he says, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Have you ever gone through that? Have you ever prayed earnestly for something to happen in your life? Maybe you're dealing with a death in the family. Maybe you're dealing with illness in your life. Maybe you're dealing with financial burdens. Maybe you're dealing with something else. I don't know. Or maybe it's a wayward son or a wayward daughter, and you just pray and pray and pray, and the tears are heavy from this. But then God gives joy. Because there's an answer. Your wayward, your prodigal son, daughter comes home. How many elders prayed for their children? Sowing through tears. How many times has God allowed these things? When this takes place, do we rejoice? Do we praise God for those rivers coming through the desert? That's really the reality. But this is our God. And so it says very plainly that you sow in tears, but you will reap with shouts. Isn't this kind of like the Sermon on the Mount? It's kind of interesting. Or the Sermon on the Plain. It's kind of interesting. I don't have time to get into it because we're running out of time. But the fact of it is, I was listening to a story about missionaries. And there was these missionaries that went to this very, very rough tribal area. And their name was... Now let's see if I can remember who it was. David and S-V-A-A. Sava? But anyways, I'm really blowing this, but we're going to keep going because I don't know any better. And their last name was Flood, which is interesting because now we're talking about waters and stuff. But these two missionaries back in the 1920s went to this very, very, very desolate, ruthless area to serve. And they were serving in this area, and they kept getting kicked out by tribal chiefs. They wouldn't let them stay there. And so they kept kicking them out, and they had to carry their gear. They had a 2-year-old son. They had to carry their gear everywhere they went. And they finally just gave up trying to dwell within these encampments of these tribal people. And so they turned around and they built a little mud hut on top of a hill. On top of this hill, they build a mud hut. And so anyways, they end up having a child. Another child is coming along. A daughter was born. And upon the delivery of the child, the mother, man, I wish I could get her name right. If anyone knows Swedish, they're from Sweden. S-V-A-A, Sava, something like that. But anyways, she died. The mother died in childbirth. So the father was distraught. He had a 2-year-old son. He didn't know what to do. There were some other missionaries working with them in that area. So he actually didn't know how to care for a young baby, and he gave the young daughter over to these other missionaries. Well, these other missionaries took the child, and then he took his son, and he went back to Sweden or wherever he lived. And point being is, the couple that adopted this little baby ended up dying too. And so you see nothing but turmoil. But some other ones came along and raised up this child and took her back to live with them. And this later, this daughter that was born to the mother that died, serving in the mission fields, difficulty, trial, all this stuff. What good could come out of this? During that time that they were there, none of the tribal chiefs would let them actually interact with the people. But one boy was allowed to go up there and actually sell them chickens and eggs. And so he'd go one day a week to serve, sell them some stuff. But the mom, the wife that died, ministered to this one little boy the whole time. Every time he came up, for 1 hour he could come. And so after the death, after dad moved back to Sweden, all this goes on. This lady grows up and she starts to learn about her roots of who she is. And she heard that her mother had died, her adopted parents had died. So she went back to Sweden and she met with the father. And he became very bitter, very much an alcoholic. And she had learned that that little boy in that country, I can't remember what the country is, I'm really bad at this story, but it's really hit me. That little boy, out of a village of 700, was able to minister, and there was like literally 200 and something believers in that village. And the dad thought it was all for nothing. He thought his wife died for nothing. Everything was for nothing. He became a heavy alcoholic, and the daughter, after she was raised, became an adult, went and found her dad. He was a withered up old man with high diabetes, barely could see, and was drinking himself to death in his home. And she knocked on the door, and when she went in there, he was very bitter against God. And she said something like, "Papa." And he knew instantly who it was. Only had seen her when she was a little baby, but knew who she was. And she said, "You know, God doesn't want you to live this way. God wants you to come back home." And he got angry at her and told her, "God abandoned me. God left me." And she was able to share with him, "No, the seeds that, you know, of tears that you were able to spread in that country have now really become a great revival in this village." That one boy became a very powerful preacher in that area. But what I'm trying to say out of this, there's difficulty around us. We can go through trials. We can go through tribulation. We can lose people we love. But God is still at work. And these things can be a testimony for all people around us. And that man came to repentance. He came back into the fold. So the very daughter that he abandoned brought him, if you could say it this way, was used to bring him back to the kingdom. We don't know the outcome of all things. Now, I really probably screwed that up, so go online, look up David Flood and S-V-A-A and read that story. It's really an interesting story. And so this is what he's talking about here. He says, when we sow with tears through difficulty, through hardship, we will soon be shouting in joy, because this is temporary, and this is something that we need to get in our heads. I need to get it in my head. As important as this world is, it's temporary. Eternity is at the door. So he goes out weeping and bearing the seed. And I love this because, you know, he's sowing it even though it's a struggle. He's still continuing to give it. He says, and he shall come home with shouts of joy. because the fruit will come forth. And that really is what my whole long story was about, is that though there was turmoil, though there was difficulty, though there seemed to be nothing but darkness, a great bounty of fruit came out of that endeavor. God will bless it. We just need to put our hands to the plow and just continue to proclaim. So yes, I might be the preacher in the church, sure, and that can be replaced tomorrow. That's not a big deal. But it is the word that is infused in the hearts of the believer that will enter into this world, because they're not all going to come in here. We have joy. God has equipped us. He's given us a gift. Stop looking at each other. Stop looking at your neighbor suspiciously, if you are, and if you aren't, great. And go love and encourage those around us. That's something I think we so desperately need to hear. And so may God add a blessing to the reading of his word today, because I kind of went on a bunny trail, but God be praised, because you can read more about it and hopefully it'll stir faith in your lives. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. And we thank you that your word is consistent, that even in the weakness of our flesh, you shine through. And Father, that we would be able to be refreshed like those desert places by really the watering of the word, that your word would encourage us. So we ask that you would strengthen us today, that we would be able to share each and every day, but always to glorify you. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.